Hi guys, welcome to today's episode of Ask Zula, and today's guest is someone you may or may not have seen on TikTok before, but maybe you're familiar with her little daughter, Eve. Yeah, and she's quite big on TikTok, so please everyone, let's welcome Francesca.
Hi, thank you.
You want to just introduce yourself a bit to our audience who may or may not know you?
So I render working with Monolith's account. I used to blog about makeup, but now I guess I blog about parenting.
Is it because like you had a daughter and you're like, okay, time to like move on to the next stage in life, you gotta do like the mommy blogging thing?
I was starting to get bored doing makeup tutorials and stuff. I mean, I only have one face, how much variety can I do?
Okay, yeah. So now you're working, living and everything full-time here in Singapore?
Well, I'm just a mom right now, so yeah.
Well, I'm glad you have, I mean, doing TikTok is also like kind of a job
to I don't know about that.
Blogging, I mean, oh well. I mean, for me, at least it is.
I think right now I'm lucky. It's just, I like TikTok because unlike YouTube or Instagram, it's not, it's more casual in a way. Yeah, TikTok is very easy. Literally, it's just, you know, 3 second, 4 second clips. It's done.
Yeah. Since you mentioned about your TikTok and stuff, would you tell us a little bit about the content that you do on TikTok and like how it kind of blew up and maybe like how many followers and everything you have now, your audience?
I think my TikTok has 195,000, I think. The first time I downloaded TikTok was actually because a 7-year-old girl called me old. Well, she didn't call me old, she insinuated I was old. She was on TikTok and she's videoing my daughter and going like, can I post this on TikTok? I went, okay, sure. Like, you know, you can tag me on Instagram. And she's like, oh, I don't have Instagram.
Yeah.
I'm like, why not? And she told me only old people have Instagram. And I went, but I'm on Instagram.
Yeah.
And she just gave me this like look where she's like, oh my God, I don't know what to tell her. And like, she just looked away.
Well, she is 7.
And there was a moment where I'm like, I'm not old. And I downloaded TikTok. And the first time I downloaded it, I'm like, what is happening? Yeah. This is just like too much going on. I did use it. I think I used it for the first 3 months as a photo, as a video editing app to make makeup tutorials for Instagram.
Ah, and so then you would like post the video and then you upload it to Instagram.
Yes, I know. It sounded really, really old.
No, it's okay. I mean, yeah. Like, I think it makes sense, like, because it has an editing function on the app and it's videos, so.
Yeah, I mean, I did start posting a few videos of my daughter that I thought was like just so cute. And because my Instagram was makeup related, I felt like TikTok was the only place where I can post her. But after a while, I finally just admitted, I'm like, I don't want to do makeup anymore. I just want to post my daughter. It makes me happy.
So which video like kind of gave you like this head start of like, you know, becoming like this whole mommy influencer on TikTok of sorts?
It didn't really just blow up. It's a steady growth sort of thing. I think there's one video where it was the magazine challenge. That one did well. And then another video where I was talking about basically the signs of a febrile seizure because my daughter just had a febrile seizure. But I think the first video that went viral where it's 300k views or something was my daughter and her best friend growing up. They actually know each other since they were 2 months old.
So
and it's really adorable. The video was, I didn't expect it to do that well because I didn't think people would be interested in seeing a child's friendship, but it's really sweet. They've known each other since they were 2 months. As soon as she can crawl, she kept reaching for this one baby.
She was reaching for a baby.
Yeah, I mean, we were, this was pre-COVID, so we'll have huge mom gatherings with 10 other babies, some she's seen before, some she hasn't seen before, some she has seen she's had many playdates with, but she kept aiming for this one baby, just keep reaching for him, and she'll just like stare at him, just like very transfixed. And that's when I decided, oh great, I guess I gotta know his mom.
No,
because
of course.
My baby seems to like her baby. Yeah. I guess I gotta get to know her. And that's when I first realized, once you become a parent, you'll be set up on so many blind dates by your child. It's true. Like, Ali Wong is right. Playdates are blind dates set up by your child. And luckily, his mom was chill and I like her. So it's great. So
imagine if she wasn't.
I know. So I made a new good friend. So I'm very thankful for her for that.
So that's the content that kind of started. And are you still doing the same kind of content now with your daughter?
I mean, we do Day in My Life. And having a toddler is hilarious. It's always, they always say the funniest things and so on. It's like, how she has declared she never wants to work.
Oh, what? Okay, so what does she want to do then? What's her goal?
She won't give me an answer. She doesn't want to work ever. But lately, she has offered dragon as an option. So
she wants to be a dragon?
Yeah.
Like, is she reading a new book or something that she's like?
She's going to be a dragon.
Okay.
And she's going to make $100. Okay. And $4 is for mommy, $4 is for daddy, and $4 for her. And I guess the rest will be her treasure hoard. And if that's her goal in life, she better not live in Singapore.
Oh my god, you're not gonna get $4. Can't even buy chicken rice, eh? Oh my goodness.
I know.
That's so funny. Okay. So now you're doing like similar content with your daughter and stuff, but I think just a quick question, and maybe I want to hear your opinion and thoughts on this. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, putting your daughter's like kind of digital footprint online, and I think there's been some criticism online of how,
for sure,
how, you know, like how audience members are, but why do you use your daughter for like views and like things
course.
Like that.
I think for me, just in general, putting my daughter on social media has been very deliberate. I really think that social media is going to be a very big thing in the future, and I think it's important to, for parents to start socializing their kids on how to behave on social media. For example, you see a lot of bullying done by teenagers who get on social media for the first time because suddenly they have all this power and they don't realize how to use it, I guess. You see girls discovering the fastest way to get clout is to show some skin. You see boys finding out that, well, if I can't show some skin, I'm going to do something dangerous. And so that's something I really worry about. So I want my daughter to grow up with social media being comfortable, that she can be known for something other than her skin, which is why I want her first introduction to social media to be something we do together, something she learns together with me. And there are times, of course, like when she's throwing a tantrum where I'm just like, but I do check with her if it's okay to post. There's one where she was crying over putting paint on her face. Okay. So I told her, like, don't put paint on her face. And she's like, I'm going to put paint on my face. Okay. And then she started crying because there's paint on her face.
Okay.
And, like, I think that was really one of those moments where I'm like, I'm not parenting the way I want to parent, because I was like, I know how I'm supposed to apologize, but I was just like, I felt such a sense of injustice where I'm like, well, I'm sorry there's paint on your face, but you did put it there on your own. Like, I felt so wrong.
Even though you told her, like, don't put it on your face. And she was like, I'm going to do it. But she's just a child.
And she's like,
just
don't want. Someone was live streaming a busker and we were there. And they were just live streaming the busker. They definitely did not mean to live stream us in any way or anything. But Eve was caught misbehaving in public.
Oh.
So she just kept edging towards the road. Normal boundary pushing.
Yeah.
But of course, it can look really bad. As soon as the person mentioned, like, hey, I saw you, I was live streaming. So I knew if he was live streaming during that time, for sure she's caught misbehaving on camera.
Okay.
So what I decided to do was I just asked him for the video, and I posted her misbehaving on my own and mentioned, like, you know, just so you know, Eve does misbehave in public too, because that way at least I can take back the narrative. That's also one of the reasons that I'm very grateful for social media, because you can take back the narrative a lot of times.
You know, back to the point about you saying taking back the narrative and things like that, I think that's quite important. And I think that's something that, you know, you have in your control to share how much you want and like the extent of which you want to share it. Like, and I do think, you know, not everything is happy. So realistically speaking, your daughter is not like always happy and smiling the time. Like, I'm sure she's throwing a tantrum. So realistically, that's how it goes. We talk a lot about Eve, and we talk a lot about family and like parenting and like how much we should, you know, show our children on the internet. Our children on the internet. I do not have children. You know, talking about yourself, you know, and you growing up, you know, I think you posted a little bit on your own TikTok about like how your family was. I'm not sure if you want to delve too much into this video. We can talk a little bit about it, because I think some of those videos were quite viral when you're like kind of ranting about like your you know, family background and how it's like growing up for you in a little bit of a toxic environment. It's what I sort of got from like the videos.
Oh my gosh, this may be controversial, because I feel like sometimes people defend toxic practices in the name of defending our heritage. But I do think that a lot of traditional Chinese parenting are kind of toxic. Like, some people are saying, you know, parents don't need to overtly show their love. Kids don't see that. Kids don't really see that. I think I wouldn't exactly want to parent the way my mother parented. I just remember a lot of fear and feeling that I was a show pony. Only I will only I have to keep performing. I still remember after getting my PSLE scores.
Oh no, that's the worst. But your results come back. Oh my God.
So when I got my score,
yeah,
my teachers were rushing to me. The principal and the vice principal came to hug me because my score was good. They were congratulating me.
Yeah.
But the whole time, my heart was sinking. And I was trying hard to smile for everyone because they were so proud of me. But I just knew that I will be in trouble because I missed a cutoff point for my school, the school that my mom wanted, by 1 point.
So what was your score?
262.
And so, oh my God, not an average Singaporean not even getting 262, by the way. Like, average Singaporean is like 200, like, for sure.
I missed it by 1 point. Immediately, she drove me to my school to appeal. And I remember she just kept yelling at me because she wanted me to write the appeal letter the way she wanted to. And because I was crying so much, I can't see. So I'm writing very slowly, and that's making her yell even more.
Don't you have like at least 12, like a few weeks to appeal like to your school? She's like, do it right now. We're going to school right now. Like, we're going to be the first ones at the school appealing.
And
like,
the whole time in the car ride, she was yelling, how dare you get 262? How dare you? Oh, no. And that was such a traumatic core memory for me, but she doesn't even remember. She's just like, I don't remember doing that.
Oh my God.
Yeah, for you, it's just another day. But for me, that was one of the moments I can't forget ever.
Oh my God.
After that, she had to do something in Paragon. I still even remember the exact moment. We were in Metro.
Yeah.
And her friend came and was like, hi. And she pinched me and went, smile. I'm like, and she's just like, we just got her results. And she's so excited. We're crying tears of happiness. And she's acting like she's so proud of me. And, you know, I guess.
Oh my God.
And I guess that's the environment I grew up with. So I guess I'm used to everything being for show.
I know what you mean by for show now. I was like thinking like, what, like getting good grades and everything. Dude, 262 is like insane. Like, that's like. Yeah. A girl's dream.
It was not a good score for my school.
Okay. Well, it's like literally 1 point. Have you managed to get into your school in the end?
I did.
Of course. The incessant appealing would have worked.
I did. I mean,
where did you go?
RGS.
Oh. I mean, darn.
Is that why you went to like study out of Singapore after that? Because you said that was really stressful, right?
Yes, it was. It was very stressful. And I was the stupid kid in RGS. Honestly, I don't know how I got in there. But I think the most valuable lesson RGS taught me is that I'm really stupid and that's okay. I'm fine with being stupid. It's fine.
That's good.
When you're there, I think at first your self-esteem is just pummeled to the ground.
Of course.
And if you don't have a complete mental breakdown, which some people did, you come out of it really, really happy. We're like, I'm stupid and that's okay. It's fine. I don't have to achieve.
Self-awareness.
And that is okay. You learn to laugh at yourself.
Yeah, no, but that's great though. And you don't take yourself so seriously.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I still can't take myself seriously. And that was, I think, one thing I learned. And it's a very good thing to learn. You're just very comfortable in your own skin.
And your mom didn't say anything about like your
I got in trouble so many times because as soon as you get into RGS, everybody scored really badly. Okay. I went from scoring 98-99% all the time to getting C's.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so obviously everybody did really badly, and even though I was trying so hard, my parents thought I just got complacent being in RGS, and I was deliberately messing around when I was studying so hard. I stopped watching TV completely. My siblings were watching 2-3 hours of TV while I was studying really hard.
Wait, why are your siblings like okay, like they don't need to study, or like what, naturally smart?
Well,
or your mom is just like, it's okay, you can go wherever you want. Is that the vibe?
Well, my brother is a boy. I think my mom was so busy just focusing on making sure I achieved that she kind of.
Are you the oldest?
I am the oldest.
Oh no!
I think my sister fought back. Oldest, my brother was the boy.
Things, I feel
like. So I think, I guess she decided, I guess I was the easier kid to mold.
Oh no!
So,
oh my God, and you're the first one to get everything, because as the oldest kid, you like get all your results first, and then like you set like the benchmark for everything, right?
Exactly. So
I think talking a little bit about like, you know, parenting, and we covered like, you know, how you were growing up with your mom, and also your dad, family, sister, brother, and now how you are with Eve. How do you think the parenting culture is in Singapore, like not specific to your own
upbringing, but more so like what you observe with like parents and moms and dads in Singapore.
Okay, so I mean, I don't think I can really discuss what I see from modern day parenting now. Sure. Because I think after I move back to Singapore, I will say, because I'm not going to school anymore, it's a bit harder to make friends. Maybe with, I guess it's harder to make new friends as an adult. Mm. And the good thing about Singapore is that it just the way you grow up, it makes it very easy to form very strong lifelong friendships.
Okay.
Which is great. So everybody has a support system already, which is why when you're a foreigner, I think it's harder to break into the groups. So again, most of my mom friends are other foreigners like me, because we're the ones who are like, we're in a foreign country and lonely, let's be friends.
Of course.
Yeah. Even my existing school friends from back in my school days, everybody has their own support network already. If I want to meet up with them, I have to make an appointment maybe like a month in advance.
Oh, yeah,
because
yeah,
they have
for sure.
Family, they have your existing friends. It's very hard to break into the group.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I remember when I had my first culture shock moment was when I overheard all the parents talking about this kid, she's in a Jeep program, 8 years old.
Yeah.
Apparently, she was studying so hard, like one of the nights, that her retina detached. And everybody's like, what a great kid. She studied so hard.
Huh?
I'm like, oh my God.
How are we like, enabling this?
What? What? Like, I think that was my first culture shock moment. I have no idea how it happened. But everybody's like, what a great kid. She studied so hard. And I'm like,
Now
that I'm older, I'm even more concerned because, you know, at that time, 8 seemed old enough. But now I'm like, 8 is a child. You're a baby. Please play.
Maybe I just ask, like, what are some lessons you learned from your own upbringing and how do you apply that into, like, your parenting with Eve?
I think one thing that I'm grateful to my mom for learning, for teaching me is, I guess, how to present myself, how to also host, how to, the art of gift giving, which I never realized was an art until I met my husband who has never been taught how to engage in gift giving. I mean, a lot of times people give very meaningless gifts.
Yeah.
And it's not something that people appreciate.
Right.
So that's one thing that I was grateful to my mom for, just knowing how to find gifts that will be appreciated. But I think something that I had to unlearn, for example, is, of course, traditional Asian parents, your parents don't apologize to you. And that's something I had to unlearn. Actually, my husband was the one who trained me to apologize because he was very good with apologizing, but I wasn't. I had to learn how to apologize, and that's something I try to do with my daughter.
I guess to wrap up like this entire interview, what are some things that you're like most thankful about, you know, being a mom?
I think every day's been really amusing. There's always something to laugh about. It's really fun.
I'm happy that you and Eve and your husband are all very happy together and no toxic things in life. Yay!
Yeah.
But thank you for coming on today's episode to share a bit about, like, you know, being a mom, sharing a life on social media, your own personal upbringing and things like that. And I hope you continue to grow on the platform.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
No worries. I'll link all your socials in the description and everything.
Sure.
So if you guys want to follow her on TikTok, please check her out and follow her on the journey with Eve and everything. And wishing you all the best.
Thank you.
No worries. And guys, if you'd like us to interview anybody else on future episodes of Azula, leave it in the comments down below. Thank you guys for watching this episode of Azula. Let us know what you like about in the video and leave a comment. And remember to like, share, and subscribe.
Bye.
Bye.